prayer. It's just speaking to God, isn't it? Communing with God. I've got six thoughts here I'd like for us to think about rather right quickly concerning prayer. First of all, what it is in our prayers there is acknowledgement. Christ taught us how to pray, right? Our Father. There's acknowledgement of God there in our prayers, and there's reverence in that acknowledgement. Hallowed be thy name. In Isaiah chapter 63, in verse 16, it says, doubtless thou art our Father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. What an acknowledgement that is, what a declaration that is concerning God's people. How amazing is it that Isaiah says, doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us. Again, Abraham only had two sons. One of them, I think, for the most part today, we would consider be illegitimate, but had one true son, all with with Sarah. Now he had five other sons with Keturah, but once again, Abraham looked on them with a totally different light than he did Isaac. That's understandable. But here Isaiah is stating a remarkable thing. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, God is still our Father. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. When we go to the Lord in prayer, certainly we are acknowledging this very same thing. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, we still are God's children. He is our Heavenly Father. In Psalm chapter 73, we have a show of reverence here in verse 25 of Psalm chapter 73. It says, whom have I in heaven but thee? That's acknowledgement, isn't it? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You sense the humility in this, and the reverence that there is in these words. God is our Father, But we reverence him nonetheless. Or maybe I should say all the more. Because he is our Heavenly Father. Thank God that he is. What a blessing it is to be called the sons of God, the children of God. What a blessing that is. Of course, in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9 and reading verse 10, it says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven." Not only acknowledges that he is our Father, but acknowledges his habitation, his abode, the place that we find him is in the heavens, the Heavenly Father. Verse 10, he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Again, an acknowledgement, a reverence of God. There's also thanksgiving in prayer. Matthew chapter 11. Sometimes the thanksgiving of God's people is rather remarkable. It almost seems sometimes strange. But in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 25, it says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth." And what is he thanking him for? He's thanking him, he says, "because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." And then he says, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." But there is thanksgiving, again, of all things. All things that our God does, we're to be thankful for it. Sometimes that's difficult, isn't it? Difficult to understand why God does things. But after all, as we said earlier today, he is the Almighty. He's the all-knowing. He is sovereign. He's all good, right? There's nothing that he does that is wrong. And so we give thanks to him. He's hid these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto babes. How can you enter into the kingdom of God? What must you become in order to enter into the kingdom of God? Well, you have to become as little children. You know, there is no pride or arrogance in the presence of God. Philippians chapter 1. In verse 3, the apostle says, "I thank my God." And what is he thanking him for? "Upon every remembrance of you, of the church in Philippi." Are we thankful today for one another? I think we are. If we're not, we sure are fooling one another, aren't we? "I thank thee, O God, says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And then there's that beautiful verse, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it how long? Until the day of Jesus Christ. But the thankfulness of the apostle, thankful for God's people, thankful for brothers and sisters in Christ. There is a continual thanksgiving. I'm persuaded that we really ought not ever pray without giving thanks to God. First, middle, last, doesn't matter, somewhere, and really more than once, right? There is so much to be thankful for, and God is faithful in giving us his salvation. But we're thankful for one another. Philippians. No, I got that one. 1 Thessalonians. In chapter 1, I'm having trouble seeing up here today for some reason. Chapter 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. In everything and every prayer that we pray, we can find something to be thankful for, but especially we're thankful for one another. Thankful for our brothers and our sisters in Christ, and thankful for our sister churches. And God is pleased with our prayers like that. Why? Well, simply because we are his people and we are a family. We are one body in the Lord Jesus. For 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, JT read this one to us, last week, if I remember right. Verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to what? To triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Paul was a thankful apostle, wasn't he? He was a loving apostle, and he loved God's people, and he petitioned God for them. And so we do today. Again, I seldom ever pray without asking a blessing upon first all of us here. And it's hard to pray and not pray as a whole body, as members one of another. It's hard to pray without remembering your brothers and sisters in Christ in prayer. I know a lot of prayer requests are made, and there's nothing wrong with that in itself, but you know, we really don't have to be asked to pray, because we are thankful that we have brothers and sisters in Christ and sister churches, and they're scattered all over this world. We may not, again, as as we just read a while ago, Abraham may not be aware of us. We may not be aware of them. But we know that they're out there. And we know that we have one common salvation. And we are thankful for them. And we give thanks for them, all of them, wherever they are or whatever they're doing. So we have an acknowledgement of God in prayer, and we have thanksgiving in prayer. Again, I'm of the opinion, and I believe the Bible would back this up, the first thing we ought to do is thank God. But I'm afraid too many times we do just the opposite. We want to petition God for something. And sooner or later, we may get around to giving thanks. The other component, another component of prayer is then the praise. How can we pray and not praise God? That's where our salvation lies in. It's in God. Psalm chapter 113. Verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. There is three times in this one verse that the praise of God is enjoined upon us. It's amazing to me. Drop down to verse 17. Where am I? I don't think we've got 17 and 18 in this one, do we? I don't know where I got that. But anyway, Isaiah chapter 38. You see something here. I think I've got that. Well, I'll just have to skip that. Isaiah chapter 38. Again, a remarkable statement is being made here in verse 14. Well, I'm not verse 14, verse 18. For the grave, he says, cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. He says, though the living, he shall praise thee, even as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. In our prayers, we always praise God. Even if we don't say that, we are praising Him when we present unto Him our thoughts. How can you come before the throne of grace and not have praise to God in your heart and in your mind? It just naturally comes that way. Praise unto the Lord. There is petition in our prayers. Boy, we ought to know this one, right? We're glad to petition God the world even petitions God, doesn't it? I mean, the unsaved, the lost, the people that are just totally lost, they petition God. Yes, all the time. You're hearing that now more and more than ever, right? God bless America. There's no praise in their prayers, is there? There's no thanksgiving. There's no acknowledgement of God as the Father. But they do petition him. But Daniel, chapter 9, Daniel is praying here, and what has prompted his prayer was the fact that he, by books, he said, understood that the 70 years of their captivity is over. It's coming to an end. And so he is praying here, but for the sake of time, we'll only read a few verses here, but verse 16 through 19, he says, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I do what? Beseech thee. Here's a petition that he is setting forth before God. I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now again, here is an acknowledgement, not an acknowledgement of God. He did that in the first, didn't he? When he said, O Lord. But here is an acknowledgement, a confession, if you will, of sin. There is acknowledgement in our prayers. Verse 17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant. Petition, right? He's petitioning God to hear the prayers. He understands again that God is not obligated to hear a person's prayers. Now, as far as God's people are concerned, he is obligated, isn't he? But not to his people, but to his son. He is obligated to his son to hear the prayers of those whom the Son has redeemed. Verse 18. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. What a petition, huh? What a great thing it is to be able to come boldly where? Before the throne of grace. For what reason? For what purpose? Yeah, that we might, huh? Yeah, that we might obtain mercy and grace to help in our time of need. Supplication. Now, for a long time, I've thought about this. What's the difference between a petition and a supplication? Well, again, there really is only a subtle technical difference there. And yet it's an important thing, because a petition is just something asked for. A supplication is something that's asked for with more feeling, with a sense of communion with God. It's not dry. It's lively. When we present our supplications before God, in Ephesians, for instance, in chapter 6, here's what we're told to do. We're commanded to do in our prayers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So here we see the same thing taking place, but the point here mainly is that we're to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It is sweet to pray in the Spirit, and it is sweet to pray with supplication. It's a sweet-smelling savor unto God. In James chapter 5, verse 16, we read these words: confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. And then there's that famous statement, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's supplication there, isn't there? The prayer of a effectual, or the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We don't go normally in prayer with just a dead feeling, do we? We do it with a spirit of supplication. We're coming and we're humbly but sincerely presenting our petitions unto God. We are coming as supplicants before God. So we have acknowledgement of God the Father and the reverence that there is in that. And then we have the thanksgiving. And then we have the praise. And then we have the petition. And then the supplication. And then there's another acknowledgement. Say, we've already acknowledged God, we've acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've acknowledged the Holy Ghost, do we not? We know these things. But look with me. It's the basis of our hope, prayer. we acknowledge prayer as the basis of our hope. And how do we normally end our prayers? In Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake, right? There is an acknowledgement there that everything that we ask of God depends upon Jesus, our Christ. John chapter 14. I'm just having all kinds of problems turning these pages, I tell you. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask, what's the next three words? Yeah, in my name. There is an acknowledgement of the Son, right? And there is an acknowledgement of His sacrifice. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. But it has to be in His name, right? But how many people are there today running around out there that they just think that if they pray at all in any manner, any way, that God has to answer their prayers? First John chapter 5. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will. You see, there's the key to it, isn't it? There is true prayer. If it is according to His will. Of course, most people today, when they do pray, quote unquote, they are petitioning God for something that has nothing to do with His will in that manner of speaking. It's what? To consume it upon their own lust. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not. Why? Yeah, you ask amiss. Because you desire to consume it on your own lust. Well, that's not much of a prayer, is it? What we want our prayers to do is to acknowledge God. Acknowledge the Son. Acknowledge even the Holy Ghost. So, 1 John No, I'm sorry, we're at 1 John now. I don't know what's the matter with me this afternoon. I'm going losing my train of thought here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 15, no, I'm sorry, verse 3 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, well, No, I'm right. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. But he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's another thing that's very difficult for me to put into words is how much difference there is between our earthly fathers and our heavenly Father. But it is the same difference as between heaven and earth, right? Same difference. But it's all because of Jesus. Everything is based upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And we acknowledge that in our prayers. Every time that we pray, we almost inevitably end it with either in the name of Jesus or for Jesus' sake. If we don't end it in those exact words, we end it with that sentiment in mind, that sentiment in our heart. We're always acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ. And rightfully so. Once again, it has pleased God for him to have the preeminence. But nevertheless, we always begin our prayers addressing it to the Father, right? That's the way Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So give us this day our daily bread. There's that petition again, isn't it? But it's with supplication. The righteous, fervent prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But you know why Elijah prayed those prayers that he did? I mean, the context of that is he prayed and it rained not for 3.5 years, and then he prayed again and it rained. But why did he pray like that? He said, at thy command. It was the will of God. Elijah didn't just conjure up these prayers. It was by the will of God and according to the purpose of God. Now, I don't know. Can you pray for anything? Yeah, you can pray for anything. Doesn't matter what it is. But number one, God is not going to change that which is eternal, is he? And he's not going to change anything that's going to alter his purpose in Christ. He is always going to honor the Son. And we ought to honor him too. Acknowledge him as the hope of our prayers.